There we go. All right, we're going to be preaching about culottes today and the effect that it's had on the society that we live in. That's a joke. Okay. However, I do have this cup that was given to me for Christmas. Pastor, warning, anything you say or do could be used against you in a sermon. Okay, so that was given to me, and I think it was because maybe I might have used... Okay, never mind. All right. All right, guys, we're still in Joshua, and if you'll go to Joshua chapter 5, and that's where we're going to start here with the new stuff, but we're going to do a quick, just a very, very short review, which lasted all of Sunday school last time. So anyway, here's the deal. I just want to talk about this. These guys... I want to talk for just a sec. This is not the focus of this morning, okay? But this generation had been in the wilderness. They were literally born in the wilderness, except for two of those people, okay? There were two guys. Remember the guys that went and said, yeah, came back from the spies that came back and said, yeah, we can do it. Let's come on. Let's pull up your britches. Let's get after it. And they got outvoted, which happens sometimes in the politics, which means many bloodsuckers of life. But anyway, here's the deal, guys. Everybody else in this group had been born in the wilderness. So they did not know everything that the rest of them knew. They were not there when they were going through some of the things they went through. But as they got to right here, God began to speak. And he said, it's time. And guys, for some of us, including me, this is not, I'm not pointing at anybody, everything that, when something hits me as hard as this sermon, or excuse me, this story hits me, it's time for me, okay? But literally, for some of us, it is time to cross the Jordan. Now, that does not mean that, because there are songs about crossing the Jordan and going to heaven, okay? I'm not getting a bus up out front, we're going to heaven, okay? Because there is a cliff nearby, but anyway. But the point being, guys, seriously, for some of us, it is time to start making those choices, to start going in the direction to take our promised land. To take our promised land. I'm not talking about going to heaven, okay? Heaven is, listen, he paid the price for us to go to heaven. We just celebrated that a minute ago. But the reality is, it's time for us to gird our loins, look that up later, and begin to get ready to follow the presence of God as it goes across this river. So they did that, but it took faith. Because see, they stood there at the edge of that river and nothing happened. It was when their feet got in the water Then it stood up and became dry. So God may be talking to you today about doing something, about being faithful in an area, about doing something in faith, okay? And you say, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not perfect. I haven't got this worked out. I haven't got this worked out. Welcome to the posse, okay? Nobody ever did. We got a Bible full of people right here. One guy was writing probably 40% of the New Testament and says, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I do want to do, I don't. What am I going to do? Praise, thank God for God. Okay. Okay. So in the middle of that, they walk over and they get these stones. Okay. We talked about it last week. They got these memorial stones. They got one man from every tribe and they picked up stones and they put there. And this is what I want to, again, review very quickly, is that we need to, as we move ahead, we need to remember some things. And I really don't want to tell this story, but I am. Because it needs to be told. 22 years ago, I got a phone call. And they said, they didn't know me very well, or they wouldn't have called me, okay? And they said, are you still preaching? I said, yes, I am. I said, I'm not pastoring. I said, I've resigned my church. And they said, well, you busy Sunday? I said, well, no. And I came that first Sunday and preached. And they didn't say good, bad, ugly, didn't say nothing, okay? And then after a while, I just told them, I said, guys, I preach in series. I can preach an individual sermon, but I preach in series. That's when my brain works, because there's always more. But there's more. But anyway, but the point being is, I said, if you're going to get somebody else to fill in, tell me so that I'll know. So after a while, I was voted in as a pastor, and they tried out some folks and whatever. They weren't quite as entertaining. But anyway, but the point being is this, all joking aside, sitting here after, actually before, I actually had a key. I had a key, but I wasn't actually the pastor. I'm sitting here on the front, second, third row, praying. And I begin to look at the front of this church, and I'm not going to be able to show you on camera, but you guys can see it here. Can you see the cross? Now, what I want you to do is to look to the left and the right of that cross, and you'll see another cross. If you look further over, you'll see another cross. If you go beneath it, you'll see another cross. If you see the way the carpet is laid out here, it is a cross. This church is set up to represent the cross. I don't know if I know that part. They had to do that on purpose. I'm guessing they did. And when we built the new building, Mike Rice, across the street, the community building, Mike said, we're going to put a cross on it. I said, sounds good to me, you know? And as you pull up there, you'll see that there's a piece that's in the side of it of a different color that's got a cross on the side of it. Because that's the basis of this church. And I want to tell you something. The cross is the basis of my sanity. It's the basis of my peace. It's the basis. It's not, I'm not talking about wearing a, yeah, I like crosses, but I'm saying that who was on that cross and the price it was paid has set me free. Okay? And I remember it. And that's because that's one of the reasons I emphasize communion like I do. It's one of the reasons that I talk about the cross and the grace and the love of Jesus, because he's called me to do that. Okay? So that's what those memorial stones were. They put 12 of them up there, and every time somebody went by there, it said, yeah, you know, guess what God did for us? He rolled back that Jordan River, and we went right across, and guess what? My granddaddy, he was there. He told me about it. But that was every time you couldn't walk by there, this 12 stones and not recognize. So do you think remembering that you have been bought with a price, paid for, do you think that's important? That's got to be, we're going to build our house on that rock. Because I'm going to tell you something, there's storms going to come. You may not be feeling one right now, praise the Lord, I'm serious, if you're not. But if you are, make sure that your house is built on the rock of Jesus Christ. Not on you being good. Hey, be good. It's cheaper, please. Okay? It's cheaper on your body. It's cheaper on your finances. It's cheaper. And I'm not going to go back to my DARE presentation the other night. I spoke at Galena School, and my buddy says, Pastor, were you there? Yeah, that was me. Different outfit, but yeah, okay. So, here's the deal. So we're in chapter 5. You go to Joshua chapter 5. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we crossed over, their hearts melted. Guys, I want to tell you something. When we are obedient to God, when we are take those steps in faith, when the world sees that, I want to tell you, I was at a conference many years ago and still remember the story. It was about a situation that was going on in a city, and it was during, I say a city, an area, and this unbelievable tragedy happened. This man ran over a child, and one was of one race and one was of the other. And the parents of the child that was killed went to the man who ran over them, totally accident, no alcohol, no anything, just one of those horrible things that happened. And they all prayed together because they knew how bad one was suffering, the other one was doing. And then it united that community. The reason it did was because instead of them saying, you should have, you did this, instead of what happened, all of them were Christians. They were part of different churches, and they came together, and it brought a unity there. That tragedy that nobody would have picked. But I want to tell you something. We can go through hard times. Anybody in here ever had any hard times? I haven't, this is the perfect church and I'm the perfect person. You know, it's all, yeah. See, I'm even wearing a coat today, to cover up my imperfections, yeah. Okay. Anyway, but the point being is this, guys, as we go through this tragedy, as we go through these struggles, as we do that, as we represent him, as we allow his grace to be enough, it's gonna get everybody's attention. It really will. And then it's going to get complicated here. We don't talk much about circumcision. At one point here in the big city of Crane, I like to call it the big city, I could marry you, bury you, incarcerate you, baptize you, but we never really got the circumcision thing down, okay? But here's the point. Yeah, somebody's not like that. You don't like that. I'm sorry. Okay, but here's the deal. Literally, those moils are hard to find. Anyway, but the deal is this. This generation had been raised in the wilderness, been born in the wilderness, and they had never been taught this word. Covenant. I want you to imagine what this spiritual covenant is. The best picture that I can tell you of it is this. 40 some years ago, I'm sorry, I'm not good with math. Let's see, 42 plus some. A very nice lady married a raggedy redneck, and there's like four people in the church that I knew when we got married, and what we said was that everything that was mine was hers, and that got very complicated very quickly, because I'm, might be slightly stingy. Everything that was hers was mine, and that we were going to honor, love, protect, all, we made those promises, and I want to tell you something. That covenant changed my life. It made me into a different man. It took a while, and I'm still a little bit sharp around the edges occasionally. There is a little I'm not gonna do that too much. Yeah. But anyway, the point being is it changed me. And it's not because she's perfect, it's not because I'm perfect. That covenant, walking in that covenant, changed me. And here's what's happened. These guys didn't know about the covenant, but the outward sign of that of the covenant with me and Kim is I'm still wearing this ring, okay? And it still fits, and that's good news. but unlike my pants. But anyway, the point being is this, guys. Literally, as the circumcision was the outward showing of the covenant that he was making, and literally that they were making to the one true God, and saying, guess everything, I will be obedient to you, and everything I have is yours. But here's the thing we forget about covenant, is God is also saying, hey, everything I have is yours. My peace is yours. My protection. You say, well, it doesn't work out that way for me. It didn't work. Well, hey, in this life, there may be a little confusion from time to time. Okay. It was working pretty good before Adam and Eve, you know, messed it up. But I heard. I wasn't there. Full disclosure. But anyway, so the point being is this. They made that covenant. They reestablished that covenant. And they couldn't go forward with this fight until they understood. They had seen a miracle of God, okay? But they had to know that, hey, God is with us. When you receive Christ, okay, God is with you. Emmanuel, Jesus, he is with you. And you go, well, Bruce, it just has not been a long water slide with a chili dog at the end. It just hasn't been, okay? It's been more like climbing a barbed wire fence, getting hung halfway over, okay, with sea rats at the end. Okay, but here's, you don't even know what that is, but anyway. I guess now it's called MRE. That's the new version of sea rats. Yeah, I love sea rats, though. You could build a little fire and you could warm them up in the that fat that the pork was in, it would begin to melt, and you know, you could, you know, use it to kill ants if they were trying to get on. Anyway, okay. So they made this covenant, and then they literally rested, and here's the deal. They got healed, and they had time to kind of get the idea of this thing that I am God's and he is mine. Before that, they were getting manna. How many of you would like to have like DoorDash come to your door first thing every morning, okay, and just drop off all the food you needed for that day? Wouldn't that uncomplicate things? You know, I'd like the protein pack, please. Anyway, yeah. But manna was like that except different, okay? It was okay. Anyway, so literally in verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal, which means rolled away. Okay. So the children of Israel camped on Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. So now, Get this picture, because this is a picture of where you're at now, of where I'm at now, of where this world is at now, okay? The first thing they had to do was reestablish that covenant. God, I am yours and you are mine. I'm yours. I've been telling you how it had to look, how it works, how it had to do this, it had to do this. I love it when people say, well, that don't make me comfortable. I'm just not comfortable with that. For some reason, it makes me want to say something. Shocking revelation. You think he was comfortable on the cross? You think he was comfortable putting up with those 12 guys that Jesus put up with where he's crying, don't want to go to the cross, and they're worrying about who? Well, you know, I think I'm just a little more important than that other one is. You know, it makes me want to get a hammer. Shocking revelation. The Brumley rears up just a little bit right there. But here's the deal, guys. Literally, as they do this, they said, I'm yours. And then they celebrate the Passover. And guys, I am not a Jewish historian. I can only tell you what I understand. But this is what I know. Moses has told Pharaoh over and over please, we got to go. And he says, no. And God says to Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. God says it. You say, what's he doing? Couldn't we have the easy version? I've always wanted the easy version. It's never worked out like that. But guys, watch this. Literally, that Passover, what happened is, he said, what I want you to do is this. Get in your house. Get a lamb. Cook the lamb. And if you don't have enough people in your house to eat the whole lamb, then let your neighbors come over and y'all gonna have to have a bunking party. Y'all gonna have to spend the night. Okay, bring your pillar or whatever you need. Okay? And so they get in there and they eat the lamb, take the blood and put it on the doorpost of the house. And then the death angel comes. And listen to what I'm saying. I can tell you that in that house, there was people that had been looking at their neighbor's wife's ankles or whatever they could see. And, ooh, look at them ankles, okay? Or they had been lying or had been whatever. You see what I'm saying? These were not perfect people. But they were in the house, and because they since they were in the house, guess what? They lived. It's a picture. And God's done it over and over. He showed us this picture over and over and over, okay? The first one is Noah's Ark. If you was on the ark, you might have been a redneck. You might have been an elephant, okay? But whatever you was, you lived, is that right? Because you was on the ark. And that's a picture of the house of my God. The person that was shed, the lamb that was shed was Jesus. And his blood is on the doorpost of the house. Get in the house. You say, Bruce, I don't have this part of my life worked out. Merry Christmas. All right, you fit right in. I don't have this part of my life worked out. Good for you. Okay. Hey, it's not that we're not, you know, we're all trying around here, especially while other people's watching. All right. So here's the deal, guys. They ate the Passover. What happened was this. After this, which is, again, another point, which I could run around the block on, but I'll try not to. But here's the deal. What happened then was the baby food stopped. You say, what are you saying? The manna, which is the travel pack, while you're moving, you need the travel pack, right? Stopped. And it says, and this is what it words, it says, now the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And guys, I want to tell you something. When you start following God, when you start doing, what's going to happen is things begin to change. They change gradually, but they change. Sometimes it's our attitudes. Sometimes it's our finances. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. But I want to tell you something. As you say, God, I'm yours. Okay. There'll always be tests. We got a whole spring full of tests we're going to be talking about as they take city by city by city. Okay. But here's the deal. They're obeying. They've entered into the covenant of God. And there's always going to be. And do you remember when the guys, the original 12 spies went? And they said, dude, you're not going to believe what they got over there. They got grapes, deals of grapes so big you can't hardly carry them. They've got the grass is this high, and they were shepherds, which means that it was great, great land. It's everything's good. Okay. So they began to enjoy that. So last point, that doesn't mean anything when I say that. Just, it may or may not be the last point. Okay. So here's the next thing, and David's not here this morning. You need to tell him I covered this, because David loves this story. So, and it came to pass when Joshua, we're in verse, can you see it? I've wrote over it. It's point number six. But as it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Oh, it's interesting. In the New King James Version, that man is capitalized. Why would you just capitalize the word man in the middle of a sentence? Because it don't mean just some dude, okay? And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now, here's the thing. The fact that Joshua recognized him as something otherworldly is kind of interesting. See, we live in such a flesh. We think, we all we think of is in the flesh. Okay, so listen to what he says. And it would be very, the simple version of this story, I would like, you know, the cliff notes. He says, are you for us or adversary? And he says, no. No. That wasn't a yes or no question. No. Are you, okay. Now, as you think about this, as you enter into covenant with the Lord, as you then begin to enjoy the fruit of where you're going, as you become in this new established, going into this promised land that God has for you, as you do that, and, you know, then you say, well, Jesus, this is, by the way, this is a pre-incarnate Jesus. He shows up a couple of times. We'll talk about it later. Like later, not like later today. He is standing there and he says, are you for us? Are you on their side? No. That's the wrong answer. It should be, yes, I'm for you, or no, I'm for them. Guess what? God is in charge. Yes, does he help us? Does he lead us? Does he direct us to do this? But when you are in the service of the Most High God, he is not there to serve you. You are there to serve him. Now, are there amazing benefits to following Jesus Christ? They're already eating better than they've eaten 40 years. Think about that. Not that we like care about food around here. Anyway, chicken, okay. Food reference, okay. Anyway, so the point being is this. He says, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, now listen, this was not just an archangel. Because any angel that ever shows up from Genesis to Revelation, if somebody starts worshiping, they say, get up, quick. Don't do that. No. I'm a messenger. No. Because see, they've seen God. They would never remove any glory from God. They've seen him. They were there for the war where angels were cast out of heaven for trying to upbraid the God of gods, right? They don't want nothing to do with that. They've been there and done that. They got that t-shirt. They don't need that, okay? And the fact that he allows him to worship him says he is God. A pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. Not a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is here today. today to lead you, to guide you, to direct you. And as we do that, we're going to be able to take our promised land. And he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I've come. And Joshua fell down on his face and worshiped and said to him, what does the Lord say to his servant? I'm ready. You're here. He didn't say, he didn't start giving him, even giving him ideas. He's just like, what do you want me to do? He says, well, right now, all you need to do is take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy. And I want to tell you something. As we go into his presence, it's a holy place. Receiving, being, accepting this walk that he has for us, it's a holy place. And you say, well, Bruce, you know, what should I do? I mean, how many Hail Marys? How many, what? No, that's not what we're talking about, guys. What we're talking about is being obedient. This was the most simple thing to get this started, right? How simple? Kick off your sandals. I mean, I don't know how they worked back then, but whatever. It was simple. And God will give you simple steps to take. And as we take those simple steps, and I want to tell you something, you might be 14, or you might be 44, or you might be 84. God has a plan for you to go, to continue to walk with him and to have what he's called you to have. And then the next thing, very quickly, is this. I want to tell you, he has a plan, and we're going to get into this next week. He has a plan for Jericho that was not the plan for anything else. You, as you see, as we go through these pictures, types, and shadows, these are real wars, these are real battles, okay? But they were pictures of things that we deal with as we go through our lives. And Jericho had to be dealt with before they could go any further. And there may be something in our lives that needs to be dealt with before we can go any further. And he gave them specific, God gave them specific instructions on how to do that. And I want to tell you something. One of the songs that I sing sometimes when nobody's around, this is not a joke, okay, is I Surrender All. Because I was raised 8.5 years as an only child. And so technically it's really all about me, okay? That brands that on your head and your brain, okay? Technically it's about me, okay? Everything. It's like I'm in the middle. It's the Bruce Spiegel School of Management, okay? I'm in the middle and everything else just rotates around me. But here's the deal. What God had to do in my basic training, and I don't mean military basic training. I'm talking about in basic training to be able to be on this path that I'm on now, is I had to say, I surrender all. My comfort, my preconceived ideas of the way that I think things are supposed to look. And guess what happened? The things that God replaced those with were the desires of my heart. And I said this last week or week before. We weren't on camera at the time, but I told everybody to look at each other and thank them for being a part of Bruce's prayer. Because guys, this place is the answer to my prayer. And being able to do things the way we do them, and to be able to hold our hand out to the community and hold our hands out and love people. And you guys provide a place for me to fulfill what God's called me to do. You're an answer to prayer. And guys, those of you online, you're an answer to prayer. Because here's the deal. God knows what he's doing. So as we take this land, Lord, as we have crossed the Jordan, as we choose, we're going to remember, Lord, that it's we cross the Jordan only by your power, only by your grace, only by that. And Lord, as we have reestablished the covenant this morning, Lord, we just said, Lord, I am yours and you are mine. I will be the man, the woman, I'll be the person you've called me to be, God. Show me the path to walk. And Lord, as commander, Father, as commander of the army of the Lord, Lord, let me follow you instead of me trying to drag you to where I want to go. So Father, give us our path as we walk day by day. Lord, your grace is new every morning, and great is your faithfulness, God. So Father, I pray that, Lord, if there's anybody here or online that needs to make a choice for you, God, that right where they're at, they would just say, Lord, I need you. I need a Savior. I'm broken. I need to be healed spiritually. I need to be put back together. And Lord, let me be the man or woman you've called me to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you. Give you peace.